The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. I began this show with a prayer, and the prayer was, may the God I believe in help me tell the truth today. And the whole truth and nothing but the truth is what I'm going to give you. As you well know, yesterday, Donald Trump was on this program for the sixth time. I played for you an interview with Donald Trump from 2011. That means I have interviewed Donald Trump for 5 years, longer than anyone that I know of in radio. I have supported Donald Trump as soon as I knew what his positions were on national security and the military. And in fact, yesterday, I asked him if he would appoint a combat veteran to be the defense secretary, leaving aside the long line of, shall I say, contractors or lobbyists who've been running defense ever since the Vietnam War, destroying the military. And he said he would. He would find the next Patton or the next MacArthur. That, to me, was the biggest take-home message. But there was another subtext to yesterday's interview, and I will take some credit for the fact that I spoke with Donald Trump, telling him he did not need Megyn Kelly, he did not need Fox News, and I would say within 30 minutes of that, he said he would dump the debate. Now, whether he does or not, I don't know. He could change his mind. He's a free agent. But as of now, he said he's not going to go before that hag, Megyn Kelly. The fact is that Megyn Kelly has shown who she really is yesterday. She actually interviewed one of the worst people in American history, Michael Moore. She would interview one of the most phenomenally anti-American, anti-family, anti-God, and certainly anti-conservative beings in the world. And he saluted her for scaring Trump. So you join all those who are attacking Trump. You're now on the side of Hollywood and Michael Moore. That's all I can say to you. There was also a press conference later in the day by Donald Trump, and some fool from NBC tried to confront Trump on abortion. What was sickening about it is that he showed how tough he was, this reporter, this little man, Peter Alexander. And he went on and on. I recognize the voice from New York. I know the type. It's an Upper East Side snotty kid. Parents gave him everything his whole life. He thinks he's smarter than everyone on the earth. He thought he would take down Trump. And all I could think of after listening to it was, how come he's not so tough with Obama? How come he's not so tough with Hillary? How come they let Obama and Hillary skate with every one of their crimes against this nation and against the world? But when it comes to Donald Trump, they suddenly find their manhood. Isn't that interesting? But nevertheless, I want to begin this show with something that I think is significant, which is the interchange from yesterday. Maybe I'll hold that for a minute. I'm going to play the interchange, which runs 60 seconds from yesterday, where I suggested that Donald Trump not go to the Fox debate. But first, I want to do something else, and that is this. I want to instead read you some of the responses thus far that have come up about that interview and what's going on between Trump and Fox. Here's one. Yvonne Klein wrote, I heard your interview with Trump yesterday. Masterful. I'm so proud of you and of the Donald for this action. Megyn Kelly actually interviewed Michael Moore last night and puffed herself up like Aesop's frog when he kissed her over scaring Trump. We know who the losers are here. Fox and all their got masters. I will be watching CNN. Hope you will as well. That's one comment. There's a lot of them. We've had, I don't know, 79,000 people responded to that particular post. Obviously, I can only pick a few of them. Megyn Kelly kneecapped Trump in the first debate. Why should Donald Trump stand on a debate stage for 2 hours and be attacked by an unhinged second-rate bimbo? And by the way, her hairdo. What's that hairdo about? Another one, of course, on the other side says he's ducking Ted Cruz. Can't get why you support him over Ted Cruz. And on, I get that. And says, why is it that no one is pointing out the fact that Rand Paul, didn't attend the last debate because he didn't make it to the big stage, and Fox has bowed down to him for this debate and was putting eight, whatever. You see what I'm saying? You're going to have people saying, he's a coward, he's a hero. He's a coward, he's a hero. He's a coward, he's a hero. Then they say, shouldn't Trump be able to overcome his obstacles if he wants to be POTUS? No, the answer is no, he shouldn't. Megyn Kelly is not the president of China. That's not the way it works. She has all the advantages. Let me explain how the media works in case you don't know it. They control the microphones. They control the lights. They control the brakes. Roger Ailes sits back there in the control room from his mansion somewhere and tells the little men in the control room who to go to with the camera, when to go with the camera, when to cut away from the camera, when to focus on Megan's smile, when to focus on Trump sweating. No, it's not the same thing as taking on a world leader on a fair stage. He would decimate world leaders on a fair stage. He cannot win in a televised debate. Not when that toad, Roger Ailes, sits in his mansion pulling the switches. A man who goes back to the Nixon era. Make no mistake about it. This is Nixonian what is being done to Donald Trump. In the worst sense of the Nixonian era. And it is being done by Fox News. You talk about Aesop's Fables? Well, there you just had Aesop's Fables. So you're all over the subject here on both sides. I get it. The shame of it is that we're attacking each other. We're letting the Cruz bots attack Donald Trump. When Trump may win, what are they going to do then? Say suddenly we support him? Or if Cruz wins, he will be damaged goods from this battle. And who gets away with it? None other than the criminal on the other side of the aisle. The criminal and the commie. That's who gets away with it. This is the classic mistake of the Republicans, who are far too open as far as I am concerned. The Democrats operate their machinery the same way the ex-Soviet Union Politburo operated the Communist Party in their nations. And that is as a closed shop. Hillary Clinton learned very well at the hands of her masters, going all the way back to Saul Alinsky, who she studied back in college. They run it like a Communist Party. Closed shop, no debates. And the stooges give them the forum that they need. You called that a debate the other night between O'Malley, Hillary, and the commie from New York's delis? You have NBC, National Bolshevik Communications. You have ABC, Always Bolshevik Communications. You have CBS, Communist BS. You have CNN, Crescent News Networks. You have Fox, falsely owned ex-corporation. And you expect them to be fair to an outsider like Donald Trump? Oh, yes, he's a billionaire. Yeah, he's a billionaire. So hold that against him. Hold that against him. There are many, many big stories. This is only one of them, by the way. You do know that American dissidents were attacked and killed in Oregon yesterday. Did you know that? Now, I posted this on my website, michaelsavage.com, and I said, dissidents killed, not in Iran, but in Oregon. Your FBI or Oregon State Police assassinated American protesters. Now, what would have happened if a group of black protesters had done a sit-in on a ranch or a federal property for a number of days, and your FBI under Obama executed the communications director of the black organization, shot him in cold blood? Oh, I would say you'd hear an outcry today, wouldn't you? You know, my friends, white lives do matter. Another American town, another shooting of an innocent American citizen, yet this morning there is silence from the anti-gun nuts. No protests in the street screaming, hands up, don't shoot. No turning over of police cars. No cries of the fake reverends, no justice, no peace. You see, the media doesn't care about this incident. It doesn't rise to the level of outrage for the community organizer in the White House. Because you see, the color of the person's skin is not the right color to care about. According to the reports, everyone obeyed orders in this standoff after a traffic stop. Mr. Finicum, who was executed by the federal government, was said to have put his hands out of the window, according to witnesses. The fascist police said he didn't obey, and they shot him dead. The silence is deafening. As Americans, we believe all lives do matter. We are now facing a fascist federal government that is infringing upon more parts of our lives than ever before. But these poor, well, I should say poor American dissidents in Oregon have no one standing up for them. Not one word from the community organizer. Nothing from the attorney general. Nothing from the fake reverends. Nothing from the head of the Clinton crime family. Nothing from the street commie, Bernie Sanders. He says he's for the downtrodden. They're all silent. But this time there's a dead American. But the fact is he's white. And the America that we believe in is not an America where there is equal justice under the law. This man who was shot is all of us, not because he's white, but because he believed in something greater than himself. He believed in freedom, liberty, and love of country, and he was killed for it by the FBI or the Oregon State Police. If we lived in a fair country, there would be an outcry across America for this execution by the federal government or the Oregon State Police. There'd be investigation of who shot that gun and who killed that innocent man who was basically threatening no one. In fact, there would be an investigation in the United States Congress over this incident. In fact, there'd be a call for the United Nations to intervene and investigate this assassination of a political dissident in the United States of America. We kept hearing in the age of Iran, when it was still a bad place, now it's a good place because John Kerry told us it's a good place, that there was an Iranian dissident movement and that the fascist Iranian government was suppressing the Iranian dissident movement. Well, here we have American dissidents in Oregon, and one of them was executed by the federal government. This is a worldwide case. Do you understand that? I'm glad I got your attention. I'm glad I got your attention on what's going on in Obama's fascist dictatorship in the United States of America. But we'll go back to the Trump deal because that's all you want to talk about. We'll also talk about Zika, the very deadly virus, has been confirmed in Los Angeles amongst a little girl who traveled to El Salvador. Really? No kidding. That's where she got it from and brought it back? And if you think you're immune because you're a good progressive, let me tell you something I've been saying for 21 years. Are you ready for this? Are you ready for this? Microbes do not discriminate. Viruses do not discriminate. They don't care if you're a good communist. They don't care if you're a good liberal. They don't care if you're a good progressive. They'll cross right across your skin. They'll cross right into your bloodstream. So pay very close attention to what I, Michael Savage, have to say to you. I've been saying it for 21 years. Diseases are coming across our borders because of your collapsed federal government, just as I've been telling you for many years. And the fact of the matter is, it's going to get much worse. Much, much worse. The Zika virus is going to be an epidemic in this country, as sure as I'm standing here, because of Obama, because of the fake CDC, because of the Border Patrol being told to stand down. This disease will spread like the plague in this country, as sure as I'm standing here. There is an answer, of course, and the answer is quarantine all people traveling to and from these sources of disease. That would be all the nations where the disease is now prevalent. That is Epidemiology 101. But since there are no longer any scientists or doctors in charge of the CDC, just little petty puppets, little petty politicians in nice suits, they won't tell you that the obvious is to quarantine all travelers coming in and out of Zika-infected nations. So it leaves us hanging in the wind, doesn't it? And that's why I don't know how the timing worked out. My book, Diseases Without Borders, I don't know how the timing worked out. It did work out. It's up on michaelsavage.com. You can order it from, I don't know, a couple of sites, Amazon. It's only an ebook. It's like $2.99. I wrote it during this year. I wrote it because I figured the flu season would be coming. And certain diseases, people wanted to know all of the things I've told them about over the years on how to stimulate their immunity with vitamins, with minerals, with herbs, and other things. And I put it together in a small, simple format. Little did I know that Diseases Without Borders would be available virtually at the same time that this horrendous, horrendous affliction is entering our nation because of the collapse of our government. We'll talk about that as well as White Lives Matter. We'll talk about Donald Trump. We'll talk about all the other topics of the day right here on the Savage Nation. Many of you turn to my show to go behind the headlines and dig into what's really going on. You don't know beyond Megyn Kelly. She's the face of what Roger Ailes, the devil, had decided to do. Did you know the following? I'll bet you didn't hear it anywhere else. Did you know that this Fox and Google GOP debate that Trump withdrew from, do you know that they invited a YouTube Muslim advocate to take over the debate to slime Donald Trump? Did you know that? They took a disgusting Muslim fanatic, a Muslim YouTube fanatic, a nobody, and they were going to give her the microphone to attack Donald Trump. Why would he go there? You didn't know that Roger Ailes was capable of such dirty propaganda tactics, did you? You thought that he got where he is by being a nice guy and giving you conservative values? No, my friends, Trump did the right thing. He'll survive without them. And that's all I want to say. And now, many of you disagree with me. I get it. We can argue over that. We're also talking about White Lives Matter, the execution of an American dissident in Oregon. We're talking about the confirmation of the Zika virus in Los Angeles. We're going to play some of the sound on the confrontation with Mr. Trump last night on abortion by a reporter who has a real lot of guts. Yep, the punk leftist progressive from NBC is very tough with Trump and quite supine with Obama, with Hillary, and any Democrat, socialist, Islamist. But they're not afraid of him. It just shows you how brave they really are. Let's take a couple of quick calls on the Savage Nation. I've got callers all over the place. We have one open line. Brian on WMAL in Washington, fire away. 30 seconds or less. Not there. Next case. George on KLIF, line two. Go ahead, please.
Dr. Savage, do you believe that since Trump is not showing not going to the debate, that he is best suited to deal with Obama when he leaves the White House? Because you know he's going to have a TV studio in that palace.
Quite don't understand the question, but I kind of do and kind of don't. KSFO, Mike, you're next up, 30 seconds or less. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that the Fox bully got punched in the mouth, and that you can see the blood. It's coming out of everywhere.
Whoa, which bully got punched? Who's the bully?
The Fox bully, Ailes and Murdoch. I mean, they came after Trump. They got
Ailes is a real cowardly bully. Hides behind, you know, gated walls and thinks that he can control the world with his little, with his computer. They hate Trump because he's a bigger man than them. He's a better man than them, and he got where he is without them. That's what they hate about him. And I got to tell you something. This is very satisfying for me because I'm the only American major league broadcaster banned by the same group of devils.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Of course, you only want to talk about Trump and Fox News, and that's understandable. It's a big deal. I want you to make a note of something I'm about to say to you. No Trump ads run on the Michael Savage Show. No ads for Donald Trump are running before, after, or during the Michael Savage Show. That's all you need to know. Just run with that one. For those of you who are following the mascot of the Savage Nation, my little dog Teddy, who's been with me for 10 or 11, 12 years. I don't know how long it's been. It seems like a day. I had a long night. He was under anesthesia all morning. I just got a note a second ago that all the extractions, all of his lower teeth were removed. Poor little guy. And they're putting sutures in, and then he'll be waiting for the anesthesia to wear off. I'll get him after the show, and I'll pick him up. I don't know how I'm going to have a dog without teeth. I don't get it. But I guess that works somehow. Now, speaking of toothless attack dogs, I want to talk about Roger Ailes. Roger Ailes is a man that needs to be studied, and it would require someone on the order of Orson Welles to write the story of this man. If you go to the Wikipedia page, and much of it's, who knows how accurate it is. The one about me is fairly accurate. I'm sure the one about him is very accurate because he has a staff that monitors it. Ailes was a media consultant for Richard Nixon, Ronald Reagan, and George Bush. That's good. That means he's on the right side of things politically. It means he knows how to manipulate the press. That's good. And he made a good career for himself. He makes a nice living. Unfortunately, he suffers from hemophilia and was often hospitalized as a youth, according to Wikipedia. We read that his father was abusive. Now, I want to focus on the fact that it says that in his Wikipedia entry. His father was abusive. Do you think that has anything to do with his contempt for Donald Trump? That he doesn't really like dominant males? I don't know. Could be. Maybe he likes them more. It's hard to say. But he's a television man. He worked for the Mike Douglas Show and things like that. And he was a political consultant along with Lee Atwater, who guided George Bush, the first one, to victory in the Republican primaries and later come from behind victory over Dukakis. He produced the revolving door ad. So he's been around the political world for a very long time. And then he hit it big when he met Rupert Murdoch. And then he hit it real big with Fox News. And we've all loved Fox News for a number of years until they became very liberal. They started to move to the left rather rapidly over the last few years. And now we wind up seeing that Roger Ailes has Michael Moore on Megyn Kelly's show attacking Donald Trump. And I think that that completes the circle. That's all you need to know. That's all you need to know. What more do you need to know that Michael Moore is now working with Megyn Kelly to denigrate Donald Trump? There's nothing more you need to know. Now, whether Trump goes to the debate or not, I don't know. He could change his mind. They can negotiate it out. He could finally talk to Murdoch, the god of it all. Rupert Moloch, I called him for many years, if you know what Moloch refers to. And he will only talk to Rupert Moloch, as he should, because Ailes is basically a general, and Moloch is the, what shall we call them? Murdoch would be a, I don't know the exact military designation, but Ailes is only a four-star general. That's pretty high up. But he's not the leader of the army. Field Marshal, right? Rupert Moloch would be Field Marshal Murdoch. Field Marshal Moloch will talk, is the only one that Trump will talk to. What are they going to do if Trump wins? What are they going to do then? How are they going to deal with that one? That's what Moloch is probably thinking about. Moloch's thinking several steps ahead, because I happen to know for a fact, at least I suspect, Moloch is backing Hillary, incidentally. You don't know that. Oh, yeah, Moloch's an open borders guy. He wants a flood of immigrants at your breakfast table. Moloch wants open borders, and Moloch wants Hillary to win. And Moloch doesn't even run the network anymore. His children do, who are very liberal. Incidentally, you should know all of this. Nobody will say it because they're all afraid of them, and I am too. I'm so afraid of them that I'll tell you the truth, because I took an oath to God before the show. You ask the guys who look at me on a Skype screen. I'm in one studio in San Francisco. They're in Dallas. We have a Skype communication. They can look at me during a show. I prayed before the show, and they heard what I said. Am I right, Jim? I looked up, and I said, God, the God I believe in, the only God, give me the strength to tell the truth today. That's all I said. I'll leave it to you, the listener. We're talking about the execution of a innocent peace protester in Oregon by the federal government without any outcry by the vermin in the media. The very same media who was so brave in attacking Donald Trump have nothing to say about Obama's crimes, Hillary's crimes, Sanders' communist background, nothing. Instead, they attack Trump. So I want to play for you last night's interchange between Donald Trump and a so-called reporter, a leftist punk from Manhattan, no doubt. You can hear it in his voice. And Trump gives it to him pretty good. Let's start with clip 11. I want to hear clip 11 on the Savage Nation.
By the full soundbite from Tim Russert, you said to him was, I'm very pro-choice. I hate the concept of abortion.
Correct.
But I'm very
pro-choice. Why didn't you read that? By the way, why didn't you read that before?
I pulled it up the
wire. No, but why didn't you read that before? You didn't read, I hate the concept
Trump,
of abortion.
I'm reading it to you on my question.
Excuse me.
Are you a trustworthy
chameleon? More so than you. Because you know what? You didn't read the question. See, when you quoted Tim Russert, you didn't read what you just said. Read it again.
I'll read it now.
Go ahead.
I'm very pro-choice. I hate the concept of abortion.
Okay, you didn't read. Why didn't you say, and when you asked the question before, that I hate the concept
because
of abortion.
Because the question from the pro-life group
can't be trusted. You were quoting Tim Russert, and you were quoting Tim, and you were quoting me. Why didn't you read my quote the way I said it?
Sir, I tried to pull it up, and I didn't have Wi-Fi.
Well, then you got to get Wi-Fi, okay? Well, don't ask me questions like that. You're not a very good reporter doing that.
No, he's right. In fact, he should be fired. NBC's Peter Alexander should be fired. He asked the question of Trump without reading the entire quote. Did you hear his excuse? I don't have Wi-Fi in this room. You expect anything less from NBC? I don't. Nothing but communism? You expect anything less from that organization that gave us MSNBC? I don't. Then he went and did a speech in Iowa, and one of the idiots started blowing a whistle. But unlike other Republicans who would sit there cowering to the whistleblower,
please bring the whistleblower up. Maybe she has a legitimate point.
I want you to listen to clip 13, how Trump deals with a low-life street protester in 13.
were number one by far. So I was trying to equate that to what I'm doing. I'm running a campaign. Thank you, darling. I don't think that's a University of Iowa student, do you? Get him out. Ready? Are you ready? Get him out of here! Get him out of here! These people.
How come they don't blow whistles when Obama speaks? How come they don't blow whistle when Hillary lies about Benghazi, when she lies about top secret emails? How come they don't blow whistles when the communist Bernie Sanders parades himself as a legitimate American candidate? How come there are no whistles? I'll tell you why. Because all of you listening to this show, you're too nice. You're far too nice. You've been turned into mush. You've been made docile by the legal establishment. They've rendered you impotent. They have destroyed your manhood. That's the only answer. I mean, my feelings are quite strong on this. Whether he'll do it or not, I don't know. He's going to be on or not on, whatever. Who knows? And reactions from the Trump interview from the conservative treehouse are very interesting. Trump's the 2016 wrote, Savage is the only radio talker remaining that the tentacles of the establishment have not penetrated. Savage has been a trooper long before the internet was even in people's homes. He's long understood that there's not two parties, just one. He stood for borders, language, and culture for as long as I can remember. He's been with Trump from day one in July of 2015 when he said Trump is the Winston Churchill of our time. What more can we ask for? He is one of us. Conservative hippie wrote, absolutely, in fact, Savage's phrase, Demokins and Republicrats explained it all years and years ago. I believe having listened to Savage for so long, I was primed and prepared to recognize the existence of the Uniparty when the evidence presented itself, and I was all in right away when Sundance presented these great articles here. No, sitting here in disbelief, it was like finally everything became clearer. Also, Savage has been calling out the talk radio industry for many years and has warned that there was, well, so much I know that I cannot say. Another wrote, Party Girl, says, the whole Savage show was great. He went back to his archives starting with January 2011 and played clips of old interviews with Trump. It's amazing how consistent Trump has been, but it was impressive to hear it played out like that. And then there's more. And I want to thank all of you who really listen to the show rather than just think you hear what I say. I really want to thank you for that. The phone number is 855-400-7282. So the Oregon sheriffs or the FBI executed a peaceful protester. They are war criminals. They've committed a crime. There should be an investigation. If not by, we can't have a fair investigation in America because our attorney general is biased. I am calling on this national radio show for an international investigation of which police officer executed that Oregon protester. I want to know who did it. Was it an FBI agent? Was it an Oregon State policeman? The man was not shooting. He put his hands out of the car, and they killed him. Why is there no outcry? Because he's not black? You know, white lives do matter. This happened in America. And you said it can't happen in America? You're saying it can't happen here? It did happen here. It did happen here. We had an execution of peaceful protesters, but you don't care because they were, I guess they were militiamen. And they don't look like the men, the metro men walking around the streets of your city. The militiamen who were killed, the one of them who was killed, they don't look like your metro sexual boyfriend, do they? So they're not really Americans. Nah. Their lives don't matter. The metro's lives matter. Well, how can I say to you, everyone's lives matter. Oregon Wildlife Refuge protesters. One was executed by either the Oregon State Police or the FBI, or it could have been the ATF. We don't know who was there. Do we really know who shot him? I mean, I go all the way back in radio to Janet Reno, who executed a number of people. You don't remember that? Do you remember what went on in Texas when they killed 72 men, women, and children and burned them alive, and not one of them went to prison? You forgot that? They're enjoying their retirement somewhere, enjoying a nice fat paycheck, enjoying their retirement somewhere with an RV driving around America, retired cops who executed those people back in the 90s. I don't forget it. Well, how about the incident that you forgot about where they executed little Sammy Weaver? You forgot that? When one of the brave men at the ATF executed a little boy, 14 years old, with a telescopic rifle, shot him dead in the grass, and never went to prison because Dianne Feinstein covered it up for him. I'll never forget it, as long as I live. I'll go to my grave remembering what that thing Dianne Feinstein did during those hearings on the Weaver killings by the ATF. What was just a standoff, but the fascistic federal government was brought in. An ATF punk killed him with a telescopic rifle. And what did Dianne Feinstein do during the fake hearings that looked like they were out of the Soviet Union? Dianne Feinstein has compromised a human being as possible in the United States of America. Look at the dealings of that family and tell me there's been no profiteering, and I'll tell you you're lying. I will tell you you're lying. Anyone with a brain can see the direct link between her rise in family fortunes and her sitting on the Senate Intelligence Committee. Make no mistake about it, we're living in a sick nation. When you hear about a dysfunctional government and a Congress that doesn't work, look no further than San Francisco and ask yourself how Feinstein, Pelosi, and Boxer have benefited and profited from their years in government. And don't tell me there's no relationship. It's because they have bought the press off or scared the press off. There is no press in San Francisco. It doesn't exist. Feinstein ran fake hearings, and they put the ATF murderers behind curtains. I'll never forget as long as I live, so we couldn't see them. I sat there with my wife watching it, and I saw Feinstein, like out of a kabuki play, say to the ATF murderer who was hidden by something, "So she was moving behind a calico curtain when you shot her, officer?" "Yes, ma'am." "Thank you very much," said the Queen of Diamonds. Back in a minute. It is the Savage Nation. So a peaceful protester was executed in the United States of America by the federal government, and there is no outcry from the so-called left, nor from the media. Donald Trump withdraws from a debate, and that becomes the whole news in the United States of America. What if a black group of protesters, one of them was executed with his hands out of a window, giving up to the police? Do you suppose there'd be an outcry somewhere? I suspect that Jesse High Jackson, Reverend, the great Reverend Sharpton, no one even knows where he got his Reverend's certificate from. Some say it's from a Cracker Jack box that he found in a bodega in the Bronx, because no one knows that he ever went to school anywhere. But he's the Reverend to the media. I forget his name already. Now he's the big kingmaker. Bloomberg now goes and sits at the feet of a street agitator. Bloomberg has less of a chance to be president than I do. He could spend $1 billion. I could spend $1 and have more votes than Bloomberg. But this is the crazy country we're living in. So as I said to him on my show yesterday, an empty chair would do more for you than you even showing up. I said that yesterday, didn't I? I did. I don't care what anyone else says. I'm the one who led this. I don't care that I'm not on the Drudge Report. I'm not part of the cabal. You never see me on the Drudge Report, do you? Tonight, Trump set for O'Reilly. Well, last night he was on the Savage Nation. You didn't see that on the Drudge Report, did you? No. Now, that tells you all you need to know about where I stand in the media. There is no media for Michael Savage, except you, the audience. For however long I am on the radio, this is the Savage Nation. This is the only thing that counts. Nothing else matters to me. And when I come back, to set the record straight, I will play the interview with Donald Trump. And you will see. You will see for yourself whether or not I had any influence on whether he decided to withdraw from that debate. Make up your own minds. You don't have to go to the internet to make up your minds. Go to the radio. This is the Savage Nation. Also, White Lives Matter. Also, Zeta confirmed in L.A. All this and more in the Savage Nation. You can't miss it.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Well, all you want to do is talk about Trump. That's okay. We'll talk about Trump. In a few seconds, I'm going to play a one-minute excerpt from yesterday's interview with Donald Trump, where I mentioned to him that I wouldn't attend the debate if I were him. And you decide for yourself if I had any influence in that decision. Now, he may yet decide to attend. He's probably negotiating with Moloch right now about the rules of the game. I don't know. But the thing is, he made a pretty big announcement about a half an hour after appearing on this program. So don't underestimate the Savage Nation. You can go along with all those in the media who pretend I don't exist. You can go along with Politico and NBC and all the others and make believe I don't exist, but I do exist. I am the dominant talk show in many of the major markets in this country. I beat my competition fair and square. And I am the only one who will tell you that, because no one else will tell you that, but I do. And so Trump comes on the show not because I'm a small timer, but because I'm a big timer. And I'll tell you something else. I extended an invitation months ago to Cruz. No response. I extended it to Rubio. No response. I extended it to Bush. No response. That's all you need to know. You talk about cowards? They hide behind their advisors. He doesn't. So don't tell me about cowards. Cruz is the coward. He won't come before the Savage Nation, by the way. You want to talk about cowards? Send that to Ted Cruz and the other gentleman from Havana. You know, we had our man in Havana already. We don't need two more. You know, you can judge everything by a head of lettuce. Let me tell you that. Let me make it very simple. I'm a man who feeds birds, and I watch bird behavior, and I've talked with you about it. I've watched birds, if you throw four pieces of bread in the water, they'll fight over a single piece of bread. They won't go to the other three. They'd rather fight over that one piece of bread. I observe animal behavior. In that sense, I'm an ethologist, a natural one. I've been a naturalist my whole life. But I observe other things. I observe food as well. When I first went to Donald Trump's country club, which was about 5 years ago, in 2009, I believe, at Mar-a-Lago in Palm Beach, I happen to like buffets, cheap buffets, rich buffets. I like buffets. I won't go to them anymore because of the virus that's around now. I won't go near a buffet. No more. You go to a buffet in Marin County, you take your life in your hand without the Zika virus. When you take a look at the liberals sticking their fingers into the... It's disgusting. But anyway, I've always liked buffets. So he has a high-end seafood buffet. I went to it. Donald Trump showed up. Naturally, people wanted to meet him. He owns the club. He came over. He was very nice. And what I said to him was, Mr. Trump, your lettuce is excellent. And he smiled. He said, yes, I make sure it is. I pick it myself. Or something like that. And I decided at that moment that he's a man who manages every one of his entities down to the lettuce. If Obama managed a country club and there was a buffet, you'd have tainted lettuce from El Salvador. But Donald Trump had good lettuce. It was crisp. It was fresh. And I said to him, you know, Mr. Trump, you can judge a restaurant by its lettuce. He said, yes, you can. That's why I pay attention to it. He pays attention to detail. And that's why I like them. So do I. I'm a micromanager. Ask anyone who works for me. I'm not easy to work for. I admit it. I drive myself like no one could drive anyone like I drive myself. Down to the last detail, everything I have to be in charge of and control of. Same for my whole family. That's why we're all extremely successful. We micromanage the lettuce. Never forget that. So does Donald Trump. And that's why I liked him. And then when I asked him about the military, I liked him more. And as I heard him on the campaign trail, I liked him more. And as I heard him reading what the equivalent of my bullet points were from Stop the Coming Civil War, my plans, my 40-point plan, I liked him even more. And then as the campaign has gone on and I see many of the ideas in my book, Government Zero, being expressed by Donald Trump, I liked him even more. I'm not saying that he's reading my books. Maybe he is. God bless him. I don't care. All that matters is that my ideas are being heard, and that's really all that matters to me. So you judge for yourself. I want to play for you now a piece, a one-minute piece. Please indulge me. And you're going to be the judge as to whether or not I influenced Mr. Trump in his current or initial decision not to attend the Fox debate. Let's hear it now, Jim. Big question. Would you appear at the Fox debate if Megyn Kelly is the moderator? I hope not.
Well, you know, we're looking at it. I don't think she can be fair. I never thought she was a good professional, but we're looking at it. We'll see. I mean, I want to do it. I love the debates. You know that I've won. In fact, you've told people I've won, according to every poll, I've won all five debates. And actually, I guess we've had six. hard to believe how it's, you know, going the time.
Donald, why do we need all these debates? You know, this is nonsense. It's a show for the media. You're so far ahead in the polls. If it was me, I would just, an empty chair would draw more attention than her, for God's sakes.
I understand that. And frankly, I think it's too many debates. The Democrats are finished with their debates. That was one of the most boring debates I've ever seen, or forums, or whatever they call it. But too many debates. It's ridiculous. And I love the debating. I've had fun doing it. I've done great with it. I've really, everyone said I won the last debate, and I won all of the debates, according to the polls. But I'll tell you what, it's ridiculous to have so many, and I don't think that Megyn Kelly can be fair. I don't think she's a great professional.
No, I agree. All right, so Savage brought it up. I said I wouldn't attend, and then 30 minutes later he said he won't attend. Then we read, Trump will skip Fox debate moderated by Megyn Kelly. Whoever her hairstylist is, by the way, should be fired. But nevertheless, put that aside. She's priming herself for ABC, Good Morning America. That's what the hairdo is for. It's for a whole new appearance. And the issue is, for us, saving America. That's what it comes down to. So, I mean, I could ask you if I had an influence or not. What do I know? You don't know. I don't know. I don't know what his internal thinking is. I really don't. Who knows? El Salvador, meanwhile, has asked people not to have children for 2 years due to the Zika virus. Savage says quarantine all travelers from Zika-infested nations. I do. It's that simple. That's simple. Common sense. If we had a CDC, they'd be screaming about it. Savage says quarantine all travelers from Zika-infested nations. Diseases without borders. Boosting your immunity against infectious diseases from the flu and measles. On and on. And who do I blame for this? Savage makes his case for the government to enforce travel bans, the use of quarantines, and the importance of proper border screenings. Drawing from his extensive training, Dr. Savage examines the benefits of using specific nutrients to boost the immune system, which in turn increases the odds of surviving a viral infection, as well as preventing other diseases. And it's an important small ebook. It's only $2.99. You can order it from Amazon or BNN online. It'll be out next week. I say the timing is perfect. Finally, all the planets lined up. And I can really help millions of people not feel as powerless as they do because the government is lying to you. The Zika virus is coming to this country. It will be an epidemic. It could be stopped right now if we had a legitimate government, if we had a legitimate president, if we had a legitimate CDC. They would order an immediate travel ban and quarantine of all individuals who have traveled into these countries. That's what quarantines are for. And so, my friends, you make your own decision. If you hate me politically, do so at your own risk. Do so at your own risk. Here's an article. Trump to Savage. Europe should have listened to me. WND is a great organization, WorldNet Daily. I want to thank Joseph Farah. Apparently, they listened to my interview. No one's linked it, of course, because I'm not a member of the old girls club. And they wrote this article, Donald Trump ripped into European leaders on Tuesday for not having the foresight to follow his lead on the Muslim refugee crisis. The Republican frontrunner appeared on Michael Savage's Savage Nation for a wide-ranging interview on everything from Democrat candidate Sanders' tax plan to predictions of unifying the Republican Party. The billionaire saved harsh criticism for Europe's attempt to absorb millions of Muslim refugees from the Middle East and North Africa. Look what's happening to Germany. Look what's happening to Brussels. I don't know what's wrong with their leaders. At least we're not the only ones that have terrible leaders, he said. What's wrong with their leaders? They're destroying Europe, Trump said. Europe's embrace of Muslim refugees has resulted in a spike of sexual attacks and other forms of violence over the past year. High-profile sexual assaults have already occurred in Austria, Finland, France, Germany, Sweden, and Switzerland. Germany has particularly struggled to deal with its migrants, and you can read more about it. Trump told Savage that he would not duplicate Chancellor Merkel's mistake of inviting 1.1 million migrants into Germany over the last year. President O's plan is for the U.S. to accept 10,000 Syrians in 2016 and up to 100,000 from any country by the end of 2017. Trump said, I'm going to send them back. They have to go back. We have no idea where these people came from, Trump said. They're young, they're strong, and in many cases they are men. When you look at the migratory lines, when you look at the big migration, there are so many men, so many strong men. Why aren't they fighting for their country? We have no idea where they come from. We have to send them back. We have no choice. We have a country that's a mess. Jim, try to pull that for the next hour. The article goes on. The billionaire who has led his Republican rivals since August has repeatedly called for a freeze on Muslim immigration. until a coherent and effective strategy for dealing with Islamic extremists becomes official U.S. policy. Trump said, we're looking for the next General Patton. We're looking for the next General Douglas MacArthur. When you look at West Point, Annapolis, and the Air Force Academy, we have unbelievably smart, tough cookies in there. We're not using them, Trump told Savage, regarding one aspect of Obama's anti-terror policy. Savage asked if a Trump administration would consider Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton as his defense secretary, to which Trump replied, I think it makes sense. When you're dealing with the military, you should certainly have a military person, close quote. Cotton, Savage said, is a war veteran who deployed to Baghdad as a platoon leader with the 101st Airborne Division in 06. He also deployed to Afghanistan in 08. Trump said, we now need a toughness and we need a competence or we're not going to have a country left. Now, you know, I want to stop right there. This is what we should be talking about, which are Trump's ideas. Many of you don't understand his ideas. You're focused only on what Ted Cruz has told you to focus on. Oh, he's a liberal. 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 That didn't sound too liberal to me. How come you didn't hear any of this? Because your mind was made up. Because you're exactly what you say your enemies are. You have closed minds, and your mind is made up. So don't tell yourself you're better because you're a so-called conservative. Your mind is the same as the liberal. You didn't hear a word that Trump said. He has the only plan I know of that would actually work to stop ISIS, to stop the flood of immigrants. He listens, and he learns. I brought up the idea, and he said, it sounds like a good idea to me. He said that. He said, it sounds like a good idea to me. He listened to me. How many people listen to anyone at all? Never mind people in the media. So that's a big story. It's the underlying story. It's what Trump really said. You hear? And now they're attacking him as an egotist and a coward. That's nonsense. Just total nonsense. Trump spoke the truth about the military and about the so-called refugees, about the death of Europe. And by the way, Trump is the last chance to save what's left of America. Otherwise, it's going to be a fight to the last man in this country. And our elected cowards are just like the Indian chiefs who sold out the Indian tribes. I will say it again because I've said it for over 15 years. What we have in Washington, I don't care who they are. I don't care what designation follows their name, R, D, S, doesn't matter. They are the Indian chiefs who sold out the tribes for a couple of cases of booze and repeating rifles. They're no different. They're called Congress and the Senate. There are a few good men. Pay close attention. I'll be back. We have a news report that the murderer of the Oregon standoff spokesman Robert Finicum was an Oregon State Police trooper who I'm demanding an investigation. I'm demanding the Attorney General send a federal task force into Oregon to find out who shot this man in cold blood. They killed him in cold blood. A 55-year-old peace-loving man with 11 children was executed yesterday by an Oregon State policeman. His name was Robert Finicum. We're going to talk about that. A Swedish official wants to use taxpayer funds to help ISIS soldiers come home. I couldn't make this up. There's no way to even invent this about liberalism being a mental disorder. A far left, Sweden is all far left. A maniac wants to help ISIS warriors returning to Sweden reintegrate with society, and they want normal Swedes to pay for it. A Swedish moron wants ISIS soldiers to come back to jobs and job counseling instead of executing them. Talk about that. What did I tell you would happen in Germany? Instead of banning the Muslim fanatics who are raping their way across Germany, Merkel's Germany, Germany has banned far-right internet platform arresting two. I told you this would happen, and I told you it's going to happen here. The fascists on the left are the new Nazis under the guise of being pacifists and liberals. So they're banning right-wing sites in Germany, not banning the rapists. And here's a good piece of news. I wish Putin was our president. Russia is hunts for pilot's killer in Syria-Turkey border town. Seeking revenge, Russian forces stormed the Syrian town on the border with Turkey, hunting for the attacker, who claimed he shot and killed the pilot of a downed Russian jet, state media reported Monday. Remember there was a Turkish F-16 fighter jet shot down a while back near the Turkish border north of Latakia on November 24th. Well, soon afterwards, a Turkish citizen said in a video that he killed a pilot on the ground. He took credit for it. He boasted about it. He killed him. Well, guess what? Obama's not the president of Russia. Putin is. And he remembers his troops. He supports his troops. They have now taken over that Turkish town. And Putin's government said, we will never forget what he did to this pilot. And they're looking to take revenge. And they've sent in special forces. And let me tell you something about the Spetsnaz. They're not a bunch of ladies from Obama's military. They're going to find this man. What they will do with him, I don't know. But they're going to bring to justice or kill the Turk who murdered the Russian pilot on the ground. Those are some of the other stories we're going to cover on the Savage Nation. Quick call, Ann on WABC. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Mike. Quick call, yes. God bless you and everything that you do. And let me tell you about this little war on Trump. It all began with Megyn Kelly's ridiculous question at the first debate. It has evolved now into what I call a conservative test. And you know what? He called Ted Cruz nasty. So now every conservative that I have ever believed in has turned on Donald Trump. And now it's an all-out war on Donald Trump. It is post after post. It is ridiculous statement after statement. It wasn't enough, and I've been keeping track because I love Megyn Kelly. I've been watching her.
Well, she made a name for herself by attacking him. I called it a foul ball the day she did it. She turned all of the others against him. She is what she is. She's just a media hound, a media type personality. That's all. She's an entertainer. She did what she had to do for ratings. But the shock here is that the Republicans, instead of turning it on her and saying, we're not going to take the bait, jump down Trump's throat. They should have said, we're not going to take the bait, Megan. Okay, let's talk about Hillary Clinton's emails. Let's talk about the Benghazi murders. Let's talk about Bernie Sanders' communist background, Megan. We're not going to take the bait, Megan. That's what they should have said. But they're not me. They're not smart enough to be me.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
So it's very interesting. I'm looking at the World Net Daily article about my interview with Donald Trump, which got no posting anywhere. Drudge didn't link it. No one touched it, because I'm not a member of the cartel. And I'm looking at the article and looking at the comments that people make. People are very smart. And someone analyzed Donald Trump's speech and speech methodology. He's very smart, this man. I-O-F-H-U-A. I don't know who. Ifhua. I don't know what it is. And he wrote this. He said, I'm noticing that Trump's speeches is that he's using short, broken sentences that look like they could have come from a cell phone text message, such as, I'm going to send them back. They have to go back. We have no idea where these people came from. They're young, they're strong, and in many cases, they're men. When you look at the migratory lines, when you look at the big migration, there are so many men, so many strong men. We have no choice. We have a country that's a mess, close quote. So the man says, most of his sentences have fewer than 10 words. I wonder if this is what makes him instinctively appeal to so many people at the polls. He keeps his words and statements simple, so the texting masses can understand them. He also repeats himself a lot, and that probably drives his point through the drug-addled brain fog most people are in these days. Combine that with the fact that most people are frustrated with Obama's poor administration, and this makes them identify with the most aggressive candidate in the opposing political party. That's very interesting. So now people are analyzing Trump's speech methods. That's very interesting. Because short sentences, by the way, for the uneducated, uncaring, knee-jerk conservatives are very important. You think that the knee-jerk liberal is bad, but look at the other side of the aisle. Have you heard of the knee-jerk conservatives, or I'm the only one to tell you about it? You think that they're all thinkers? No, not all thinkers. They're knee-jerk conservatives. Just tell them what to think, and they'll regurgitate it. But nevertheless, look, let's stop arguing amongst ourselves. The country's in trouble. The world's in trouble. Obama has wrecked America and the world. And the fact of the matter is only Trump has stood up and told us what he'll actually do, as clearly as he has about ISIS, about the military. Ted Cruz has good ideas. I just don't trust him. You want to talk about trust? Everything's a personal choice. I don't trust Ted Cruz. I don't trust him for a number of reasons. I don't trust him for the fact that he was born in Canada, he went to Harvard, and suddenly adopted a Texas accent. That's the number one reason I don't trust him. This is a weird lineage there that, I'm sorry, is not as trustworthy to me. And we had enough with someone of let us say, a sketchy background in the White House. Let's have an American this time. Let's have a pure American, straight out, no questions about where he was born. I know you don't want to hear it. And I know many of you are Cruz bots. I just hope that when Trump wins the nomination, I hope that you will go for Trump. You won't just be a knee-jerk conservative sitting it out. Because we're at the end of the road here. Emperor Obama has destroyed this country's will to go on. It's basically beaten up. Here you have the assassination of a peaceful activist in Oregon, and there's no outcry in the media. A cop executed a man in Oregon, but because he's white, there's no outcry. There are no reverends. There should be a reverend out there. And I don't mean those type of street radicals. We know who they are. They're the worst of the human race. The worst of the human race are the civil rights radicals who pose as reverends. They're the worst, the lowest. They use religion as a weapon. We should have someone along the lines of Falwell Jr. go to Oregon, demand a federal investigation of who killed the man. We should have other real religious people go there. But there's nothing happening. Apparently there's only one type of lives that matter in America right now because of the brainwashing. But all you want to talk about is this, Trump the Savage. Europe should have listened to me. It's a very good interview. It's up. It's still on michaelsavage.com. So here are the questions that I asked Donald Trump. I have them written out. Maybe I should frame this one. Because I had the guy who works for me type it up before the show. One, would you appear at the Fox debate if Megyn Kelly is the moderator? I asked them that. That was my first question. I don't care whether you see it on any report or not. I was the one who triggered this. Two, Mr. Trump, Muslim refugees in Europe are raping and murdering. What would you do to reverse Obama's flooding of America with violent and diseased immigrants? Three, Obama just appointed another non-military man to run the Defense Department. We are at war with radical Islam. Would you agree on this show to only appoint a combat experienced veteran as defense secretary? I can recommend Senator Tom Cotton for the job. Four, Bernie Sanders is a naked far-left radical. Some would say communist. He has been his whole life. I know the type from New York streets. Yet he is rising in the polls. What would you say to my audience about Bernie Sanders, and how would you overcome the hordes of poor and immigrants who hate the rich? And I knew we'd only have about 10 minutes, so I saved it for a short few questions. Number six was, Mr. Trump, some people call you a bully. I tell them we need a tough negotiator to beat our enemies. Americans have been wimped down and think we need a nice guy in the Oval Office. How would you appeal to all of these brainwashed fools? I then was surprised that he stayed a little longer, and we got into other issues. And I said, how important is the Jerry Falwell Jr. endorsement for you? And he answered that one. That was a very big answer, very important. No one heard it. All you are is focused on is the newscaster, the showgirl on Fox News. All you're focused on is one of Roger Ailes' dancers. It's like the Rockettes to me. When I look at Fox News, I see the Rockettes. Showgirls. They may as well put their arms next to each other and do a dance on the stage for Roger Ailes and Rupert Murdoch. The showgirls. I'd rather not look at the showgirls. They're nice girls. I'm sure they're very good people. But what's with the heels and the lipstick? That's news now? You wonder why their ratings are good? I mean, if you put heels and lipstick on Wolf Blitzer, his ratings would go up. He'd be the first crossover host. And no matter what his age is, age doesn't matter anymore. It shouldn't keep him down. If Wolf Blitzer wore heels and lipstick on CNN, his ratings would go up. People would turn it on just to see Wolf Blitzer in a pair of heels and lipstick. The next week he does nails, again a 10-point jump. The week after that, another thing, an eye lift, another 10-pointer. Little by little, he could become the biggest hit in the history of CNN. What if Chris Cuomo put on heels and lipstick? You think his ratings wouldn't go up? And speaking of heels and lipstick, it wouldn't hurt Rachel Maddow to put on a little lipstick now and again. You know, a little lipstick and then heels go a long way, Rachel. Underneath it all, I mean, you must have tried it at some point in your career. Look what it's done for the girls at Fox. KBOI, Zach, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, Dr. Savage, I'd just like to point out that a lot of this stuff that's being said over the Oregon standoff doesn't really get down to the real issue. The real issue is that these people had real grievances against their government. They stood behind the document that this government was founded on, and nobody listened, nobody paid attention, and one of them ended up dead.
Yeah, how come Ted Cruz isn't there in solidarity with him since he's such a great constitutionalist?
Exactly.
I heard Ted Cruz is the constitutionalist, not Trump. Trump's not a constitutionalist. He's not. Well, Ted Cruz is Mr. Constitution. Why isn't he in Oregon? Why doesn't he put down the debate tonight, whenever, and run out there to be in solidarity with the men who are arrested? Go join them on a hunger strike.
Why hasn't he?
Then I might take him seriously.
Nobody's actually stood up and acted.
Well, okay, I'm the only one talking about it. Have you heard it? Have you heard anyone else talk about it on the radio? I haven't. Not one word. But I am, because I know how significant this is. This is a peaceful American protester shot dead in America by the Oregon State Police. This should be a federal investigation, and if the Attorney General refuses to do it, we should go to the United Nations for an investigation to find the officer who killed him. I may start a defense fund. Probably not. Maybe I will. I'm going to make a commitment right now on this show. Those poor guys don't have any money. Those poor white guys, those ranchers who stood up, they're not rich guys. They're not from New York. They don't have condominiums in their back pockets that they can sell in order to face off against this evil government. When the time comes, and it's not today, I will set up a box on michaelsavage.com and will raise money for their defense fund. I don't make any money off these things. It'll go right to their lawyers. I'll help them. I've done it for soldiers. I've raised hundreds of thousands of dollars for soldiers. I don't often boast about it. I gave a car away to a soldier with the dog. I don't boast about it. I've given money to police who are in trouble. I don't boast about it. But I'm going to do this for them because it's part of what I usually do on this show. That's okay. You know what's happening to me lately? I'm paying too much attention to a part of my head that has my critics' voices in them. I don't really care about them. I have to go back to who I am and just do what I do. I am so sick and tired of being attacked and being bitten by the little chickens in the barnyard. I'm sick of it. The little chickens who peck at my feet, I don't want to hear them anymore. They're yacking little beaks walking around in the chicken coop. And yet I hear them, and I shouldn't even hear them. I should only hear me. The only feedback I want is you. I'm going to raise money for these poor guys in Oregon. It's that simple. Okay, if you want to talk about that, you want to talk about the Fox debate, which I think there's nothing to say until we see if he does it. My headline says it all. Government executes peaceful protester, not in Iran, but Oregon. It's on MichaelSavage.com. Savage says quarantine all travelers from Zika-infested nations. Just by chance? How is this even possible? Michael Savage just released a book, it's an e-book called Diseases Without Borders. Savage says quarantine all travelers from Zika-infested nations. How to boost your immune system against diseases, from the flu and measles to tuberculosis. Michael Savage says this is all a result of unregulated immigration and a politicized public health system. Michael Savage sees a need for some changes, starting with the president and the Center for Disease Control telling us the truth. Michael Savage makes his case for the government to enforce travel bans, the use of quarantines, and the importance of proper border screenings. It's all in that little book. And I would say to liberals, please don't read it. Please do not read anything I have to say about bolstering your immune system against the Zika virus if you are progressive. I pray you don't read the book. I pray that you are as stupid as I think you are and that you'll put your politics ahead of your reason as you normally do.
Sounded like Michael Savage, and now he's sounding more like Jeb Bush. He's engaging in politics 101. He's kneecapping his rival, like Tanya Harding, and I don't care about him missing the Fox debate because it's a dog and pony show, but I would like to see him debate Ted Cruz one-on-one, where he threw down the gauntlet. And they could both go at each other in a fair.
No. I want to see Trump debate Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders. That's what I want to see. I don't want to see an internecine warfare where we wind up flaming out because they rip each other to pieces. Both of these men are good men. Both of these men are too smart, and to pit them against each other is pure evil and pure stupidity. Whoever came up with that idea is a moron. Why would you pit two leaders against each other in the same party when there's so much at stake, unless you want to put yourself ahead of everything?
Mary is for the city.
No, you want to debate Hillary Clinton, and you want to debate the winner of the Democrat Party. You don't want them to kill each other. That's the stupidest thing I could ever think of. You take two men from the same team and say, go into the arena and tear each other apart, and whoever's left standing, then you go as an injured man against Hillary Clinton. That's brilliant. That's a brilliant strategy if you want to destroy the Republican Party and the conservative chances. And I rest my case. I'll be back. Issue of immigration, Mr. Trump. Every day another story about Muslim refugees in Europe raping, murdering. Yesterday, a refugee stabbed a Swedish social worker who tried to help this boy. He stabbed her to death. 400,000 new immigrants from Somalia pouring into Italy. What would you do to reverse Obama's flooding of America with violent and diseased immigrants? I know it's a tough question, but this is the number one issue on Americans' minds.
Not a tough question for me at all. Number one, I wouldn't have them come in, but if I win, I'm going to send them back. And I told everybody, sending them back. They have to go back. We have no idea where these people came from. They're young, they're strong, in many cases they're men. When you look at the migratory lines, when you look at the big migration, so many men, so many strong men, you almost say, why aren't they back fighting for their country? And we have no idea where they come from, Michael. We have to send them back. We have no choice. We have a country that's a mess. Look what's happening to Germany. Look what's happening to Brussels, places that never even thought of this stuff. And I don't know what's wrong with their leaders. At least we're not the only ones that have terrible leaders. I mean, what's wrong with their leaders? They're destroying Europe.
Yes, and
now,
it's
that was
terrible.
A direct answer. That was yesterday. No one heard it, apparently. None of the geniuses in the media heard it. No one on the conservative side, no great conservatives heard that. All we hear is that Trump's not a conservative. He was as clear as a bell. He's as clear as a bell what he's going to do. So that's the important point, is what he will do. I have faith that he would do it. That's the difference. I don't have faith that any others not only would but could do it. You know, and then there's the issue of, oh, he gets along with Schumer. I wanted to talk about that for a minute. That's how Congress works, by the way, is you get along with the other side. You work out a deal with them. If you will recall, many years ago there was a proposal by your great leader, George Bush, to turn over all of the security for all of our ports to a group in Dubai. It was called the Dubai Ports Deal, D-U-B-A-I. Some of you who know this show know that I stopped the Dubai Ports Deal single-handedly at great risk to myself. I lobbied against turning over port security to a group in Dubai for obvious reasons, but it wasn't obvious to the doofuses in the Bush administration. And take a guess who came on this show and agreed with me. Chuck Schumer. I'm sure we could find that tape. I reached out across the aisle and I said, politics makes strange bedfellows. I said, Mr. Schumer, welcome to the Savage Nation. It was the first time, last time he's ever been on. I think he was quite surprised to agree with me. But he was a big enough man to come on this show. And he said he would work against the Dubai Ports deal because he thought it was dangerous for America. If I'm not mistaken, this was before 9/11. I don't even remember when it happened. No, that was 01. Has to be after that. Well, I don't know when it was, the Dubai Ports deal. I have to look it up. The point I'm making is that I reached out to Chuck Schumer, and with him, we were able to stop the Dubai Ports deal. That's exactly what Trump was talking about. So again, all of you purists who say, oh, we don't have to reach across the aisle. Well, what country do you live in, Iran? What, do you just shoot the opposition, you idiots, you? What world are you living in? LBJ reached across the aisle, and he got things done. I don't agree with what he did, but he knew how to get things done. That's who Trump is, a deal maker, morons.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is The Savage Nation. So the left is winning. They've got exactly what they want, which is the
the conservative or Republican vote is now split, attacking Trump or attacking Cruz. That's exactly what they want. And now to make matters even worse, it's been suggested that Cruz and Trump attack each other, rip each other to pieces, and whoever's injured and left standing then go into the general against Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders or whoever. That makes great sense. That's true strategic brilliance. Now, we also hear criticism against Donald Trump that he's a deal maker. What stupidity? That's a criticism? That he's a deal maker? That's how Congress works. The problem is we don't have a deal maker. We have people who capitulate to the Democrats. That's not deal making. A deal is made when you get what you want or as much as you can get out of what you want rather than nothing, which is what the Republicans have been taking, less than zero. A deal maker takes a deal and he builds his building. May not be as tall as he wants it to be. It may not be as deep as he wants it to be, but he builds the building. And you idiots, you purists say, hey, he made a deal. He didn't build that building he said he would build. It was only 110 stories. We wanted a 200-story building. We're purists. You schmucks. You're the ones that don't know anything. You never did anything in your life. You don't own a business. All you do is talk and sit on the internet. Keyboard warriors. Microphone warriors. Never owned a business. Never worked in the private sector. Trump lives in the real world. That's what we need. And I told you that I walked across the aisle. I told you that. I told you over and over again. It was a Dubai Ports deal from 2006. Thank you, Peter Chalka, for finding it for me, one of my listeners. He looked it up on Wikipedia. I'm trying to open it. Here it is. I'm sure I'm not even in it. No. I don't exist. I'm one of the only people who doesn't exist who has great effect in the United States of America. Those who expressed opposition to the deal included the New York Times, Michael Savage, Lindsey Graham, the New Republic, the John Birch Society, Sean Hannity, Lou Dobbs, Laura Ingraham, Bill Frist, and Hillary Clinton. Prominent politicians from two different parties, Bob Menendez, John Gibson, John Corzine, and Peter King. Senator Barack Obama stated his opposition to the deal. That's great. So did Senator Levin and John Kerry. So you see, there was a deal made. Because we all opposed it for logical reasons at the time, which were security concerns. Security concerns, security concerns, security concerns. We all joined together to sink the deal. That was a good point in America. Do you understand what I'm saying? I reached across the aisle to Charles Schumer. He came on the show. He brought it to national attention. And he sank the deal. And we fought DP World. It was a company owned by the government of Dubai and the UAE. It was a holding company. This holding company was under the direct control of the ruler of Dubai, Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum, who was also the prime minister of the UAE. And I said, this is insanity to turn over port security to folks in Dubai at a time like this. Well, I was right. In fact, in 05, Coast Guard intelligence officials raised the possibility of security risks associated with the management of some U.S. port ops by a Dubai company. I agreed with them. And so I stepped in and started to make a big, big deal out of it. I had a huge stink out of it, bigger than all of them. But my point is not to take credit for stopping it, but to show you that I had Charles Schumer on the Savage Nation in 06. And I said, Senator Schumer, politics makes strange bedfellows. Welcome to the Savage Nation. He was very gentlemanly about it. And we worked together, me and the media, him and Congress, and the rest is history. That's how a country survives. That's a nation at its best. Not saying the other side shouldn't be heard at all, or doing a deal that is no deal, a total capitulation to Obama and Harry Reid. That's not a deal. That's capitulation. So if Trump is a deal maker, which he is, he'll reach across the aisle and make sure we get a fair deal. That's all. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. And you can call on any topic. What's this now? I'm looking at another story thrown at me during the show. Before he boarded a plane for Iowa yesterday, 126, GOP presidential hopeful Donald Trump spoke to Westwood One syndicated talker Michael Savage, who told the Republican frontrunner that he hoped Trump wouldn't show up
at tomorrow night's Fox News Channel GOP candidates debate. And shortly thereafter, he said he wouldn't. It's that simple. Now, what will happen? He could change his mind. He's a free agent. He's negotiating his appearance, perhaps. Maybe he's negotiating his appearance with Rupert Murdoch. And he's telling Murdoch, I want to see the questions this time. And if she asks me another one to set me up like I'm the fool, I'm walking off. Or you're going to put in writing that she won't ask me this question. How's that? And if she does, you lose $40 million per question. Right? I mean, he's negotiating. He's a businessman. He has every right to go there and not be set up. So I think we've covered this. We've covered the waterfront, right? I'm trying to find desperately. They're looking for the Schumer interview. Or would you rather I talk about the Zika virus and what you can do to defend your immune system against any viral infection without a guarantee that you won't, you know, be infected? There's no guarantee about diseases, let me tell you that. There's always a mysterious element. However, there's some common sense things we can do to stop the Zika virus, and that's quarantine all travelers from Zika-infested nations. That's a tried and true piece of methodology from epidemiology. First rule of epidemiology is control the source of the epidemic. But since we no longer have a CDC but an ODC, an Obama Disease Control Center, where everything has to go through him, every other agency now has to go through him and his minions to tell you what's real and what's false. Best-selling author, epidemiology expert Michael Savage explains the origins of viruses like the Zika virus and their impact on the U.S. now. Diseases without borders. It's a huge story. You're going to hear more about it as time goes on. Yesterday, I talked about there are no Vikings anymore. Michael Savage newsletter, there are no Vikings anymore. In today's issue, the latest attack in Europe by Middle East migrants, the stabbing of a Swedish social worker, prompted Savage to wonder what has happened to a once great civilization. The incident, he said, and the hundreds of cases of assault reported across Europe in the last month won't stop the Swedish government from continuing its immigration policy. Savage said there are no Vikings anymore. The Vikings are in prison. All of the good Vikings are in prison in Sweden, run by a bunch of ninnies and sissies, like all of the ex-great Nordic nations. There are ninnies and sissies running Norway, Sweden, Denmark. And in Italy, the great Italy, oh, the Italians will stop them. Yeah, the rugged Italians. What rugged Italians? What rugged Italians? There's an invasion of 400,000 new immigrants coming in the next few weeks to Italy. Take a look at them. If they look weak to you, you're crazy. They're immigrants from Somalia. You better lock your women up behind closed doors in Italy. That's all I can say. Where are the leaders in Italy and Sweden and Norway and Finland? Where did they go? Why are they afraid of the sissies and the ninnies who have told them that they can't stop the immigrants? Of course you can. Your ancestors did. That's why you had a nation with great cathedrals, great art, great music, great science, great achievements. Cities built because of your ancestors, and look what you've given away. Just what's happening here in America because of Obama. Nevertheless, that's what's coming unless we get someone to stop it. Catch up on previous issues of the Michael Savage newsletter. These are the gems. They capture the gems in the middle of my monologues, and they put them into the newsletters. They're really good. And then I wake up the next day after saying there are no Vikings anymore, and I read this in the Business Insider. It says, a Swedish official wants to use taxpayer funds to help ISIS soldiers come home. Fund programs which help returning ISIS warriors, they're calling them, reintegrate into society. In Sweden, former jihadists are coming home and being offered psychological help to overcome traumatic experiences they may have suffered while fighting in Iraq and Syria. Liberalism is a mental disorder, I've tried to tell you. Okay, so you know all of this. Everyone knows everything. And then all you want to do is talk about Fox and Megyn Kelly and Trump. All right, that's what you want to do. 855-407-282. Let's go to Catherine on KSO. Catherine, what's on your mind? What's your topic?
Dr. Savage, would you please give it a 1 minute or two, please, for your dog if you were just informed by your veterinarian without enough time to aware of what's happening? Number one, I have not understood any of your dog's situation, but this pulling of all the dog's tooth. Okay, I am the cardiac sonographer. I know about this. Regurgitations of the valve in the left side. Left side is not at least going through the walls, to the left to right situations. But I know that we are not even understood what the morphology chambers into the left side. This is all the matter of we not even understood what the cardiac heart rate is for the normal dog or the human.
Oh, it's too late already. Here's a picture of him walking around now. The vet just sent me a picture, a video. Teddy's shaking off the anesthesia. He looks better than me on a Sunday morning. Yeah, just came in. Thanks for your thought, but the teeth are gone already. He's coming home. I'm going to give him rice, let it later. If I go to dinner, he'll have to eat some mashed potato. I'll have to be like a mother bird, chew food up for the rest of his life. No, I'm so happy he's alive. You have no idea. You don't know. For 2 hours, I've been on the air because I'm this kind of guy. The dog was in surgery. I was worried about him. I'm freaking out, telling him to send me stuff. So the vet says, wanted to see you how great Teddy is doing after surgery. Right? And there it is. There he is marching around. Hey, go Teddy! So right after the show, he comes home. I give him a kiss. Oh, he's limping around. I want to save this. I want to keep playing it over and over again. Just wanted you to see how good Teddy is doing after his surgery. The toothless lion. He looks like Bert Lahr marching around. People confuse him with a pet lion, a little guy. A lot of guys love little dogs. They're so beautiful. Shows you can survive even. Well, they left his canines in, so at least he looks like a dog. He's trucking around there. Should I put it up on the Facebook? I should send it over to Facebook so everyone can see Teddy's doing well. But I don't know. They're feeding now. They're letting the whole deal. What are you wasting our time, Mike? We want to hear about Trump. Don't talk about anything else. Who has this? Peter just sent me Schumer? According to this, you interviewed Schumer on February 17, 2006, 2:15 p.m. Would you take a note of that, Jim? FreeRepublic.com. Oh, they have it. So I send it up to Doug, and we'll get the Schumer thing tomorrow. That'll be a treat for tomorrow. So all of you uncompromised purists can see that you do have to reach across the aisle to get something done that's significant. Otherwise, you're just whistling in the dark and talking to yourself and 4,000 cronies. 855-407-282, which I think I said 4,000 times. White Lives Matter, American dissidents killed in Oregon. Zika confirmed in L.A. Trump attacked for leaving Fox debate. That's, again, anything. So all we're going to hear is Fox debate, Fox debate, Fox debate, Fox debate, Fox debate, Fox debate, Fox debate. No, 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 no. I'm going to raise money for the Oregon family of the man who was killed. I haven't set it up yet. I'm so busy with the me and the dog and the this and the that. You know, how much can one man do? I will do it. We will raise money for them. I will set up a box. It'll go up on WorldNet Daily. It'll go into the Savage Legal Fund because I'm set up with, I think, PayPal. I have that still set up. And then people can send money, and I guarantee you it'll go to them. These are poor white people. The government will try to do everything they can to intimidate them and kill them. They not only killed one of them, they arrested the others to destroy their lives and take away their farms and their ranches. We're going to help them. We're going to fight this evil, dirty, filthy government. You want to fight the government? Don't argue over Trump versus Cruz. Stop it. Stop falling into the trap of the Democrats. See, if you buy into that, you're falling in. You couldn't do a better job for Hillary Clinton than right now, than demanding that Trump and Cruz debate each other. That is the stupidest thing I have ever heard in my life. No one dare say it. I want you to think about it. You have a winning team, a great winning team with terrific people on it, and you have two standing, and you say, now, strip naked in the arena and tear each other apart, and who's ever left standing, rip apart, go and fight Hillary Clinton after you're ripped to pieces by the other guy. That's smart. That's really intelligent. That's really intelligent thinking. That's why I oppose such a debate. Maybe you disagree with me. Okay, you're entitled to it. But am I not entitled to my opinion? Well, I hope so, because I just gave it to you. Back in a minute. You know, we hear about a dissident movement in Iran that used to exist until John Kerry made nice with the murderers in Iran. And we were saying you should support the dissidents in Iran, and they were all imprisoned or killed, tortured to death and killed. And yet here in America, we had a peaceful group of protesters assailed by the U.S. government yesterday. Oregon State Police killed one of them, and there has been no outcry from anyone so far as I can tell. We're all focused on Megyn Kelly and Donald Trump. This is a huge issue. And a friend of mine, Dr. Sarfati, just sent me Lavoie Finicum murder videos from YouTube. I haven't opened them because it's in the middle of a show. I can only do so much at once. But there's audio testimony, shot with hands in the air. Eyewitness audio testimony here. Burns, Oregon shooting, militia alert, shortwave broadcast. Download these links. It's a huge story. And I know many of you don't care because, well, they don't look like you. They're not metrosexualists. They don't drive an appropriate car. They wear cowboy boots and cowboy hats, and they're militia members. But they're Americans, too, you know. And, you know, ranchers' lives matter. But I don't hear any outcry. I really don't. So we are setting up. Carol Shumley just emailed me from WorldNet Daily. Hold on 1 minute. I'm very excited right now. Teddy's alive. I'm going to see him in about an hour, half an hour. The show is going great. Trump's going to win. I mean, things are good. What, should I not be happy? I'm feeling elated inside. So she said to me, please send me some original comments about your fundraising drive for the Oregon family if you have time. And if someone at WorldNet Daily doesn't write a story on your on-air reference by the time I start my work, I'll write one up first thing. You can send it any time, maybe 5:30. Feel free to go as long or short as you like. So I'm going to do it. I already sent it to my lawyer and everyone else during the break to set up a box. This is what we do. I work quickly. I told them to set up the box, a fundraising box, a legal defense fund, for the ranchers that were oppressed by the federal government and the Oregon State Police. The fear I have is they will try to ruin them, take their life savings, take their ranches, and put them in prison. I'm not going to let that happen if I can stop it. I'm very focused on this. And so we'll have that up maybe by tomorrow. You can start sending money into the legal defense fund, and then I'll find out which lawyer is representing them, and we'll work with the lawyers. I want to make sure the lawyers don't rip them off. I've had enough experience. The only good lawyer I know is my lawyer, Dan Horowitz. The others, forget about it. I spent a lot of money in my life, like, you know, without result. Let's put it to you that way. Back in a minute. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Okay, what I'm about to read to you is something that was written by the Associated Press, which is a wholly owned arm of the Democrat Socialist Islamist machine in the White House. This is something that you would see in a third world dictatorship. I would say shame on the Associated Press, but I've come to expect propaganda. Here is their headline. Just in time for you to have no sympathy for who the government executed. Here's their headline. Rancher killed in standoff vowed to die before going to jail. You hear the lie? A member of an armed anti-government group who was killed in a traffic stop in Oregon vowed a few weeks ago that he would die before spending his life behind bars. You believe this? Lavoy Finicum, a 55-year-old rancher from Arizona, died Tuesday after law enforcement officers initiated a stop near the Malheur National Wildlife Refuge in southeastern Oregon. It's unclear what happened in the moments before the shooting or if Finicum or any of the other activists involved exchange gunfire with officers. Authorities wouldn't say how many shots were fired. Eight occupiers were arrested, including group leader Eamon Bundy. Finicum also was a leader of the armed group that took over the refuge January 2 to oppose federal land restrictions and object to the prison sentences of two local ranchers convicted of setting fires. He was a prominent presence at the refuge and frequently talked with reporters. His affable but passionate demeanor made him a popular subject for on-camera interviews. Finicum seemed to have made up his mind about how his role in the occupation was likely to end with his death. Just a few days into the occupation, he came barreling to the refuge entrance in a federal truck. Rifle in hand, Finicum sat in the middle of the driveway telling reporters gathered around him that he learned there was a warrant for his arrest and he wanted to make it easy for federal agents to find him. At the time, he said he didn't know what the warrant charged him with, but he believed agents would try to arrest him soon. I don't think it really matters. There's enough things they can make a warrant for us, I believe. Finicum said he had neither threatened nor harmed anyone during the occupation. I have grown up loving the fresh air. I love the elements, and this is where I'm going to breathe my last breath, he said. I'm not going to spend my last days in a cell. This world is too beautiful to spend it in a cell. He then gave a message to his family. So they're implying that he wanted to be killed and that he actually committed suicide. I would say whoever wrote this article, you should rot in hell. That's what I would say. You should have worked for Joseph Stalin or Adolf Hitler. This is no longer journalism in America. We have no journalism. What we have is Megyn Kelly and propagandists like Megyn Kelly in every aspect of the mainstream media. Make no mistake about it, we're living in very dangerous times. I think someone said that a grand jury could indict a ham sandwich. You can shop anything to any grand jury you want and they can indict a ham sandwich. The federal government indicted these people for no crime and then executed one of them to send the message from Boss Tweed in the White House. That's it in plain English. Now, many of you are very alarmed by this, as you should be. You should be very alarmed. I had a close family member who was a very strong person call me extremely agitated over this murder by the federal government. I had to calm him down. And what I said to him was this. I said, my friend, listen very carefully. Do you know what the bonus march was? He said, no. I said, well, old Mike Savage remembers the bonus march from history. Here's what it is. After World War I, veterans who had fought in World War I and survived that butcher machine were told that they would be given a bonus for having served in the killing fields of Europe. And they came home, and the federal government, of course, lied to them, as they always do, and gave them nothing. So the leaders of this bonus group, all veterans, set up camps, tents, on the White House lawn. And they encamped on the White House lawn. And guess what happened to them in the 1920s? The President of the United States rewarded them for fighting in World War I by executing them. He sent in army troops to shoot at them. Many of them were shot dead right on the White House lawn. So I said, don't think it started under Obama. The federal government has always had a fascistic streak in it. And so look back and go research the bonus march. I don't know whether I calmed them down or alarmed them more. But that's the issue of knowing a little bit of history. That's all. 855-400-7282. Let's take a few callers. Craig on KSFO. Go ahead, please. The Savage Nation, make your point. Call screener awake. Not there. Go ahead. Not his fault. Oh, God. WABC David, go ahead. You really want me to answer that on a national show? I'm okay. You know, but my ear hurts. I have a little bit of a toenail. I don't know. You know, this and that. How are you? What's doing in Brooklyn? What's wrong with you people? Weren't you told not to ask me how I am? What do you think, I'm eating a pickle with you somewhere in a deli? Next one, don't ask me how I am. You don't know me, I don't know you, and you don't care. WMAL, Rodney, fire away, what's on your mind?
Yes, people are analyzing Trump's speech patterns, but, you know, the parallels between Donald Trump and General Patton are uncanny. You know, I sent you a book about 6 months ago about Patton. It had a picture on him. I don't know if you got it or not. But he was a mastermind strategist in tank warfare. And I think, you know, to understand Trump is to understand what it means for total victory, what it means to think strategically. And this separates him from the other candidates. It's how he thinks in a strategic way. And
I'm not arguing with you. That's why I relate to him. I think the same way.
I can tell.
I think the same way. In fact, I don't speak the way he does. I don't speak in short 10-word sound bites. But let me tell you something. Whoever analyzed the speech patterns was very, very smart. In a world of too many words that go on and ramble and people don't get the point, it's pretty good to reduce it to simple terms. Because people can't take it all in. You know, they're not listening for an essay. They want the short answer.
Right, that's right. But
all right, that's it. That's the short answer to that one. We have a couple open lines. I realize many of you got scared away by my outburst. But I've been in radio 21 years. There's a first rule of talk radio. You never ask a host how he is. How are you? Fine, I'm a first-time caller. Great, wonderful. How are you? Really? Did you get new dentures today? Really? How's the hearing aid? Very good. How are the shoes? Wonderful. How was your lunch? Great. And what's your point? Well, you know, I wanted to say this, Mike, and no, that's not talk radio. Talk radio is get on, bang, make your point, and get off. If I want to discuss it, I will. I prefer right now till the end of the show, 30 seconds or less. If you're lucky enough to get through, Clint, the call screener, wearing a green ski hat. In there, you look like the Unabomber on the screen. It's cold in there. They freeze them out in there. These guys, I don't understand. They're in Dallas and they're freezing in there every day. That's one of the reasons I work at home, is that I find radio studios, you can't control the temperature. Every time I go in, I say, let me control. No, your thermostat's 8 studios down. And it's usually set in the room where there's equipment and they want it cold to keep the equipment from overheating. And they treat you like you're a piece of equipment in a radio studio. Not to mention that you have to put up with the scents and the odors of the people who were in there before you. Don't get me started. I have a whole thing about people who cook in radio studios. He's pointing at something. What, a boss just came by and said, don't say anything? What, I should put my hat on? I can't see the screen. What? I don't know what you're saying. Waving at me. KSFO, Mike, what's on your mind?
You may have telling you not to talk to me. I wanted to, I have two issues, but since you want it quick, we'll make it one. The Boston Globe on the 11th had an interesting interview with San Francisco's own Larry Tribe, who was common law professor for both Obama and Tribe. And Tribe is honest. He's a left winger, but his comment was that when he was, I'm paraphrasing, I'm not going to read it, that he used to argue with Cruz and his class, which he always enjoyed, and at the time Cruz was a, call it an originalist, and believed in the original intent of the Constitution, where Tribe believes it's a living Constitution. And he's calling him a hypocrite because he's advocating for just the opposite, where in fact Congress determines who's natural born. And I think that
let's slow down. People can't follow you. I think I can. Larry Tribe is a diehard fanatical left wing fanatic. I use the fanatical word twice. He's a double fanatic.
To be honest.
You agree he's a liberal, right? A left-winger?
Absolutely.
Okay. So naturally he hates Cruz, because Cruz is not a left-winger. I mean, let's not get carried away here.
No, but you don't know, because he's being blatantly dishonest about a few issues, and having legal training and being a smart guy. Trump is going to be at a disadvantage if he gets into the weeds around legal issues. And many people probably wisely are avoiding.
Okay, now you're making a salient point. I know another very smart young man who made a fortune on his own. And he said he doesn't need to know all the details. He leaves that to people he hires. And, of course, that's where Cruz triumphs, because lawyers specialize in details. But we don't need a detail man of that nature running the country. They'll get caught themselves in their own detail. The fact is it's good to know what's going on and hire good people. He said he would hire a patent to run the Defense Department. What more do we need to know? We have to find out how tall the guy is who's going to run the Defense Department, how big his nose is, and how many bullets he can fire a minute?
Yep, I absolutely agree.
All right, so you see, I boiled it down. Thank you. You made your point in your own way. On the Internet, Sarah, a woman, finally calls the show. Sarah, go ahead, please. You're one of the 22 Savagettes who listen to this show. What's on your mind, Sarah?
Hi, Dr. Savage. Thank you so much for taking my call. I'm a huge fan of yours. I listen to you every day. The reason I called was I heard you say that you didn't trust Ted Cruz, and I feel completely the same. I feel like he's preaching to us. I feel like he's like a TV evangelist when he talks, and he just, there's something about him. I don't know. But Trump, you know, he comes across, I trust him. I think he's going to do great things, and
I think this is the salient point here, is that in a general election, Trump will garner more votes than Cruz. That being said, it doesn't mean that I'm running Cruz down. It's not for him or against him. I don't think Cruz can win. I don't think he's trustworthy to the general public. He has a certain kind of oiliness about him.
Yes, I agree. I totally agree with you.
When I look at him very carefully, I'm sorry, make believe I'm a casting director. I look at the political stage. I say to myself, I'm a movie director. What would I cast Cruz as? I put him in a Dracula movie. He looks like almost sinister in a certain way. So that doesn't diminish his value as a candidate or as a human being. He's just not as electable as Trump. Trump doesn't come across that way. Why do you think so many people suddenly like a billionaire? That's very unusual unto itself. Most people resent rich people. How come they don't resent Donald Trump? Why is that?
Because he's a leader, and we're tired of Obama and his weakness. I mean, we want someone who's going to stand up for us.
And you know, more women, I know women, some of whom have built businesses and are on their own. They're very macho women, very strong-willed, very smart. They all say Donald Trump is the last hope we have for America. They don't like Cruz at all. These are smart women. One of them is even liberal-leaning. She likes Trump. And there's a reason. It's America is desirous of an alpha male. I don't believe Cruz comes across as an alpha male. I believe he comes across, I would say, as a beta male. He would be a fabulous lieutenant for a general, or a colonel for a general. He is not a general. And I think that's what people are seeing. They want a dominant male, because we need that to face the world right now. I think that's what you as a young woman are saying, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, so you want strength. In plain English, boiling it down to 10 words or less, you like Trump because he presents strength to you, and you don't feel that Cruz is as strong in his being. I think that's what you're saying. We don't have to run Cruz down to say that, do we?
No.
And that's what I'm saying, because I believe that when Trump wins the nomination and when he wins the election, where do you think he would turn for his cabinet and his chief enactors of his policies? He would certainly turn to that stage. Every one of those people on that stage is a fabulous person in their own ways. Every one of them. Doesn't mean you have to destroy them before the election is over so there's nothing left. See, this is what's happened is we're eating our own now. We're letting the media dictate the terms of this election. We're falling into the trap of thinking that we have to chop people to death on our own side in order to win the election. It's insanity. That's because most people who are doing this don't think long term, and they don't have strategic thinking. Strategic thinking means think way ahead. Think to the election and beyond. Do you want a weakened Cruz? No. Do you want a destroyed Trump? No. Do you want a mashed up Bush? No. We don't want any of that. What we want is a cabinet of many of these men. I think Carly Fiorina would be fabulous in Commerce, for example. I can name where each of them would play a great role. Ben Carson would be great in the Department of Health and Human Services, HHS. I mean, I would hire him in a minute. I'd make him, I'd have him work for me in 10 seconds. I'll be back in a minute. Well, as this show comes to a conclusion, we have only a couple of minutes left. How do I summarize what's going on in the world today? We have a party fighting amongst itself, egged on by people in the media to continue fighting and bloodying each other, which I think is foolish, and I've said so. We have a media star, Megyn Kelly, who is in it only for herself, and Donald Trump said thank you very much, but no thank you. I'm not going to be ripped apart by you again. And I take some credit for him deciding not to go there. He may change his mind by tomorrow. He's probably negotiating with Rupert Murdoch right now, where he's saying, here are the questions, she's not allowed to set me up. If she does, you're going to write here that Fox owes me $50 million. I mean, I don't know what he's doing. We don't call each other up and talk about lettuce, but I would think if he's a negotiator, that's what he's saying. Okay, you want me on for that $7 million a minute or whatever you're going to make? Fine, here's the money. She sets me up, it's $50 million if she asks this question. That has teeth in it. That's a negotiation. That's how it works. I'm sure he's glad to answer questions, but not to be set up as the devil by Megyn Blood in the Eyes Kelly. So anyway, that's what I think is going on. And my dog, Ted, so far is fine. I have a little video of him. He's come out of anesthesia and out of the dental work, and he's walking around over there, and Irene's going to go get him just as the show is over and bring him home, and I'm going to have to, you know, cook him soft food. I look forward to taking care of him all night tonight, frankly. I'm alone here with the dog, and I'm going to talk to him about it. And that's it. That's life. And tomorrow is another big day, isn't it? Thursday something. Oh, the debate. I forgot. Right. That's my whole life now. It's really not my whole life. It's not my whole life. No. You'll forget all of this in a few months. There's more in the world than a debate. Okay, thanks for listening. The Zika virus is here, but pay no attention to it. Don't worry about it. Obama's in charge. And the CDC will tell you what not to do.
Savage.